Wayne Moda, the coach for the Saugus Peabody co-op wrestling team, is with us from the two high schools. And Wayne, welcome. Thanks for joining us and telling us a bit about the program. And first of all, welcome. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, Wayne, tell us about the inception of the program. It's a co-op program involving Peabody High and Saugus, as I kind of just mentioned. And this is your third season, if you will, but you started during the COVID period. So I guess take us back to the beginning, and then we'll share. Then you can share later on in the interview of some of the successes, recent successes the team and some individuals have had. So take us back to the so-called the beginnings a few years ago.
So I kind of came on obviously during the COVID season. Was kind of not a weird situation, but it was. I run a wrestling club that I had a young Saugus wrestler. He was a junior at the time and had nowhere to wrestle because during COVID, most clubs weren't participating in wrestling at all. And my club actually did. We had small classes of 10 kids, and we were following the CDC guidelines and checking temps and testing and all that stuff. But I wanted to keep it going. And this young man, his name is Chase Ledbury. His dad showed up one day at one of the practices and said, "Hey, I heard you guys are actually wrestling. No one else is. Can I get my kid in?" And we let him in, and, you know, over those 3 or 4 months, I got to know him. And, you know, he expressed to me and said, "Geez, you know, I didn't think we were even going to have a coach this year. Our coach left last year. It wasn't a great experience when he was there. And, you know, I really love the sport, and I'm thinking about even moving schools in order to continue wrestling." So, you know, I used to be an assistant coach right after high school over at Winchester High School with Larry Tremblay, and then at North Reading High School with Eric Johnson, and I had graduated from North Reading a year or two prior. So I really love coaching, and I knew it was something I wanted to do. And then, you know, at that age, you go to college. I had moved out of state and then kind of got away from wrestling a little bit. But when I came back, got married, had kids, when my son was old enough to start wrestling, I started doing the local town thing, and then I eventually turned it into a club where kids can practice. So that's how I have a lot of affiliation with some younger wrestlers. So back to Chase, you know, he was just a really, really good kid and loved the sport. And I was always thinking about getting back at the high school level, but I was waiting for the right opportunity. But, you know, after talking to my wife, I'm 53, and at that point I was 51. So she's like, "Well, you're going to wait till 60 for the perfect job. You're going to be too old to even do it." So I basically, you know, did it and went for it. And, you know, wherever you kind of land is home, you know. You always have what you think would be the perfect situation, but I do it because I really enjoy the kids and changing their lives and introducing them to the sport and showing them kind of the real meaning behind wrestling, which is more about accountability and, you know, challenging yourself and confidence and all that good stuff. So I came on board, met with the AD at Saugus, which is the host school for the co-op, and basically she's like, "Well, the co-op's been going pretty good for the last 2 years. But during a COVID year, let's see how it goes." We had one kid come out from Peabody High. So our team basically had 13 kids on it. Obviously, the 12 from Saugus and the one from Peabody. And we only got to compete in 8 dual meets because the MIAA would only let you wrestle in your league. So it was kind of a shortened season with a, you know, even shorter competition schedule. And then last year, you know, we tried to promote it a little bit more, and we had 4 guys come out from Peabody. Again, our team started off at 17. I think we ended with 14, so we were forfeiting a lot of matches, but still went 10 and 9. So our goal that year was to have a winning season, and we did. And then off season, we just really pushed, and, you know, went to the towns of Peabody and Saugus to the, you know, the youth football practices, other sporting plays. You know, I just talked to as many people as I could and talked up the sport, because Saugus and Peabody aren't really wrestling, you know, culture towns. They just have never had really, both towns have had teams independent of each other, but they've never been really, you know, the culture of the sport in the town itself. So I wanted to try to build that. So I started inviting some of the kids to the club off season to kind of try it out, get them prepared for the season, and had a bunch of guys come out. So we finally had our meeting, and this year we had 19 kids sign up from Peabody. and I had five returning wrestlers from Saugus, plus six or seven new wrestlers from Saugus. The tough thing is that they're all 8th and 9th and 10th grade, so our team is 90% 8th, 9th, and 10th graders. And we've got three or four first-year seniors, but only five guys with actual experience from last year. And we're doing pretty good. We're 10-6 now. I expect us to have 13 wins by the end of the year, which will, kind of eclipse our record from last year, which is the goal every year, is to do better than the year prior. So I think we're on track for that.
Well, I know you had the Cape Ann League Northeast Conference meet this past weekend, but before that, let me ask you about any big meets this year for the team, the Saugus Peabody team.
Yeah, I mean, a real good one. We had two kind of interesting ones. One was a blowout, but it was more of a kind of a turning point in our season where, when you have a lot of young kids that have never done the sport before, forget the fact that if they're athletic or not, it's the, it's the being prepared mentally and being able to deal with the emotions that go along with wrestling, because you're kind of out there on your own. We wrestled Franklin County Tech, and we actually shut them out. So it was 77-0. So it was the first shutout in either town's history in the sport. So it was kind of a milestone. But for me, it was not so much about the score and shutting out another team. It was more about building the confidence for the kids. Because from that point on, they kind of said, oh, geez, I guess we're okay. I guess we could do okay, Yeah, I immediately saw, when we got back to practice, how hard everyone started working, and they started to buy in, which was great. And then the other one was probably against Marblehead Swampscott. That's a team, also a young team, but we kind of go, I think our first season against them, we got beat up pretty bad. And then last season, we lost to them by a point. And then this year, I think we beat them by 4 or 5 points. So, again, it just shows that we're getting a little bit better every year. It was a great day for the kids, and it was exciting because it came down, almost to the last match, so it was back and forth the whole match, so it was an exciting thing to watch.
Wayne, how many wrestlers do you need on a match day, if you will, to be competitive on your team?
Yeah. Well, you could be competitive with eight. If eight of them win every single time, right, you'll win every match if you win. So there's 14 weight classes. If you're awarded a forfeit or a pin, it's 6 points. So, do the math. If you're at eight wins at 6 points apiece, you're always going to beat your opponent. Unfortunately, it doesn't always go that way. So you want to have a full lineup. Our first year, we were forfeiting four weights every match. And then this last season, we forfeited two weight classes every match. So basically, we're going in 12-0. No, losing 0-12, I should say, every match that we started. So you have to make up that difference and then have a bunch of other guys win and win big in order to beat an opponent.
So you now have, this past season, you were able to fill every weight class for the meets.
Yep, we have a full lineup this year.
Gotcha, okay. Well, tell me about the this past weekend's NEC Cape Ann League match. Yeah.
Yeah, we did. So, we started off a little slow. We did overall, I think, surprisingly well. You kind of know your opponents because you wrestle them all in dual meet competition throughout the year. But that doesn't always translate to how you're going to do in the tournament. So, in other words, we took, I believe we were in fourth this year in Cal NEC, either fourth or fifth, finishing right in the middle. But at the tournament, we finished fourth, but we only finished 8 points out of second, which means if we had won two more matches on that day out of the 60 or 70 matches we wrestled, we could have finished in second place. So I was really impressed how well we did. Our staples in the lineup are our two captains at 152 and 160, which is Sam LaRusso at 152 and Will Pinto at 170. He's at 170. And we knew that those guys were ranked number one in the league, and we had a good feeling that they would be able to sweep right through and win. But then we had, our younger guys really step up. So everybody else that placed were sophomores and lower. So we had a couple of eighth graders place, we had a couple of ninth graders place, and we had a 10th grader place. Which was really helps your points, when you have even though they didn't finish high, you finished from third to fifth place, but if they continue wrestling all day and they're winning matches, that adds to your point total pretty quick.
Tell me about those top two. Those Will Pinto is among those. He's from Peabody, but your other wrestler's from Saugus, I think, right?
Yep. Sam LaRusso. He's at 152. He's a junior captain. He's undefeated in dual meets this year, which is pretty impressive. We've wrestled a lot of tournaments this year outside of Cal NEC, and he's finished third or second in all of them. Same thing with Will. From Peabody at 170. So, but Sam's a tough, really tough kid. He's been wrestling since eighth grade through the youth wrestling program in Saugus. And she's just a tough kid. You know, he just goes out and he always wants to learn. He wrestles off season, which, and nowadays in almost any sport, if you want to try to, you know, get to the great or elite status in your sport, you have to kind of train all year round. And he does that. So it's he's been a good captain, and he's been a definite asset to the team because he's, you know, guaranteed points every time he's on the mat when we're wrestling on a dual meet.
Wow. Tell me more about Will Pinto, if you can.
Yeah, Will's just a fantastic kid. You know, he's overcome a lot of hardships in his life, losing his parents just recently. And, you know, I don't want to say you'd never know it, but his attitude and his outlook, you know, he has every reason to, you know, flip the world the bird, and his attitude is totally opposite of that. He's accountable, and he's a good kid, and he's just kind to people, and he works hard. He, you know, when he picks something that he loves and something that he wants to do, he puts 1,000% into it. So, you know, he's an inspiration as a captain on the team, and every single kid on the team looks up to him.
Sounds like it. Sounds like you got some quality young men there. Tell me more about the underclassmen you were alluding to a little bit earlier that are scoring for you, but, you know, are not the last two that we just talked about.
Yeah, so we've got a whole host of eighth graders on the team. Not all of them start, but we have a young eighth grader that came to the team late. That's really tough. He's 160 pounds. His name's Luke Calder, Calder. He's from Saugus, and he's just a big muscle. I mean, the kid can, you know, as an eighth grader at 160, he deadlifts like 405 pounds. He's just amazing. So he's learning the sport. He makes a lot of mistakes, but he's quick and he's very athletic. So, you know, he's worked his way from being on the JV team up until about 2 weeks ago, starting varsity. He finished just recently sixth at the tournament, and he started getting varsity wins for us. So he's going to be a real bright spot for us. You know, whenever you can start wrestling in eighth grade, fortunately, our two schools have an eighth grade waiver, which some leagues don't approve of, but the Cal NEC does. So we're able to bring eighth graders into the lineup. Usually kind of reserve those eighth grade waivers for your lighter weight because, you know, most younger kids are lighter, and it's hard to find an older, experienced kid that weighs 106 pounds. So you have to kind of fish around for the younger kids. But this, you know, as an eighth grader comes in at 160 and he's competing with, you know, juniors and seniors, it's really impressive. Another one, we had a bunch of freshmen this year that are doing fantastic. We get Jackson Delidi. He's a Peabody student, ninth grade. He's wrestling 106 for us this year, and just has taken naturally to the sport. Really picked up a bunch of wins this year, finished third at the tournament as a freshman, which I thought was really impressive. The same for you go to the other side of the scale at 195, Freddie Espinel, same thing. He started off, you know, just being strong and not knowing what he's doing, and now he's really getting a feel for the sport. You know, this past tournament, he beat two kids in the tournament that he lost to during the year, early in the season, so that's just shown how much he's grown as a wrestler, and he was able to finish third at this tournament as well, which I thought, you know, again, at that weight, 195 pounds, when you're in high school wrestling, a lot of times you're wrestling men. You know, he looks like he's a big kid, but he's, you know, baby-faced, and he's going out against guys with full beards and mustaches and, you know, fully developed juniors and seniors in high school that weigh 195 pounds, and he's handling them. So it's a lot to be said for that.
Wow, that's so. Now, what is ahead for some of the top wrestlers now that you know, the regular season's over, the Cape Ann League NEC meet's over? What's ahead now?
So for us, you know, we get one last super quad on at Malden Catholic next Saturday that we hope to bring home a handful more wins to get our record to where we think it should be. And then we'll train for a week, and then we'll go to the North Sectionals, Division One North Sectionals. That's one thing that we're a Saugus is a Division Three school, but because we're co-oping with Peabody, the size of the school dictates the division you're in. So we're in Division One North, which is, you know, I won't even say arguably, it's 100% the top division in the state. If you're on the podium at the Division One North Sectional, you're likely going to be on the podium at state and all state. So it's the top wrestlers, you know, just happen to be in the Division One schools. You have St. John's Prep, you have Haverhill, you have Andover, Methuen, all Andover, great schools that have, you know, top tier kids that just year after year, good programs that escalate kids, you know, through the sectionals to states, all states, and to New England's. So we'll have the North Sectionals next week, the week of the weekend of the 12th. And then that's, if you place top five, you'll be heading off to the Division One states. And if you place top, I believe it's top six there, you'll be on to all state. And if you place at all states, top seven, you'll be on your way to New England, so down in Providence, Rhode Island, the first week in March.
Wayne, you've got a lot of great information for us here, and it's interesting. I hadn't really thought about the divisions that you guys are competing in, but I guess it makes sense, you know, that you would be in D1 with, you know, co-oping with Peabody and so on, which is D1 in basketball and other sports as well come playoff time. But you mentioned the other top D1 teams, but you know, I want you to help me out here because I haven't been following the high school wrestling as closely as I might have a few years ago. But in the past, a few years ago, you had strong teams like Danvers and Beverly in the Northeastern Conference. And I'm not quite sure about the Cape Ann League, but you also had just mentioned the premier, I guess, D1 team, you know, has been St. John's Prep. You just mentioned them a minute ago. But tell me more about what this conference season and, you know, give me some review, if you will, on what happened in the conference overall for teams.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I'll tell you, Beverly has really stepped up their game. They had a really good team this year. We beat them last year. They're overall a really solid team. But realistically, you know, for teams in the Cape Ann League and NEC to compete with teams like St. John's Prep and Haverhill and Methuen, there's a big separation between talent on those teams. And there's a whole bunch of different reasons why. You know, a lot of it is again, culture. And, you know, you could have great athletes in the school, but not all of them wrestle. You know, you have a lot of great football schools, like Beverly's traditionally had a good football school, but they don't all come out for the wrestling team. So, you know, you might look at a school and say, geez, these guys have a ton of athletes, but no one comes out for the sport. St. John's is, you know, obviously they went and swept last year and won, you know, sectional states, all states, and New England last year. They're probably arguably maybe the best dual meet team to ever come, and tournament team to ever come out of Massachusetts. I'm sure that team will be inducted to the Hall of Fame in Massachusetts at some point. But it's tough to compete at this level. So my point is that what we're trying to build here in Saugus and PB is a real wrestling culture that will, you know, with a youth program that we started a year and a half ago to feed, you know, kids in. You know, if you're a St. John's Prep, you might have a lot of talented athletes that want to transfer there to wrestle and to get a better education, you know, depending on what your thoughts are on private education. But some of these other schools that have a good high, you know, Methuen has a great youth program, so it's a feeder program for their high school team. So we've established that, and not many teams in Cal and EC do that. You know, Linfield North Reading used to be a powerhouse in the Cape Ann League when their co-op first started. I think in the 2000s they were like undefeated for 3 years, but they can barely field a, you know, lineup right now. They have no, you know, they forfeit six or seven weights this year, so it's been tough for them. Danvers traditionally has had a good team, but they've had a lot of problem with coaching turnover. Mm-hmm. So when you change your coaches and, you know, you don't have people there, you know, I guess what people don't understand about wrestling is that you need to be in touch with kids all year long. Like, because wrestling is a sport people can get distracted from because it's incredibly hard. You know, you just don't come out for the sport and be like, oh, this is fun. I'm going to do this every day. It's a grind. I mean, you walk out of the room as a player, you know, as a wrestler and a coach some days going, oh, my God, how can I do this every day for 2.5 months? It's incredibly hard. And that's why the attrition rate in wrestling, you know, exceeds every other sport that's out there.
You know, Wayne, I got one last question, but I'm going to make it a two-parter here for you. And that is, right at the beginning, you kind of alluded to the value of wrestling. And let's focus in on high school wrestling at first. But also, tell me about the connection between wrestling and football. You know, because I know, let me just share this, is that, I mean, I know that, as you were kind of just alluded to, a lot of very good football players go wrestle and use it, you know, to assist them in becoming better football players, and probably vice versa, I suppose. But tell me about that wrestling football connection, and then overall, give me another pitch as to the value of high school wrestling.
So, you know, it's funny because everyone asks this question all the time, and the best example I can give, when someone's like, well, these do a lot of football players, you know, when you talk about the NFL and college, they wrestle, and I'm like, look at, you know, closest to home, even if you're not an avid wrestling fan or a football fan, you know, Stephen Neal was an NCAA champ and Olympic wrestler before he ever stepped on the football field. He was not a football player. So the lineman for the Patriots and all those Super Bowl years. So it just shows you that type of athlete can be such a, you know, you can turn a wrestler almost into any other athlete at a physical level. You know, I'm not going to say you can make a wrestler a basketball player, but the trade-off in football is you've got balance, you've got speed, quickness, leverage is huge, right? So if you play the line in football, you want to be able to move people. You know, at the lower level example I can give you is that, so Will Pinto, our captain, played, you know, for the Peabody team this year, their football team, you know, finished, I think they were undefeated. I think they lost in the first round of the playoffs, but they were ranked 3 in Division 2 in football. And they had Will Pinto on the line at 170 pounds on the line, getting 2 and 3 sacks a game. So, you know, beating kid 300, you know, 200 to 300 pounds. And that has all to do with how he can move people and his leverage and his balance. And that's why, you know, it's such a value to football players to be able to get these things. He said those aren't things that football teams work on, right? Because they don't have time. I mean, if you have time to practice, you're not working on stance, you're not working on hand fighting, you're not working on the things that will make you a better lineman. But there are intangibles that kind of show up when you see it, right? You know, football coaches aren't training football players like wrestlers. But wrestlers, trained as a wrestler, use those attributes when they're playing football, and it immediately becomes apparent. So the big challenge, and it's a challenge for me here, and it's been a challenge everywhere that I've been, is to convince football coaches that their football players should wrestle. Because they're number one. Football coaches, number one thing, when you're not playing football, you should be weightlifting. You should weightlift all year round and then play football. And I would argue that, you know, where weightlifting is important and strength and conditioning is important, wrestlers add something to the mix that you just don't get with a native football player. It just doesn't happen. So, you know, my goal is to really get with the football coaches in town, and, you know, I'm recruiting one or two a year, but, you know, if you ever had every good athlete on the football team come up for wrestling, you could become a powerhouse really quick, and then immediately that next season it would pay dividends for them on the football field.
All right. Well, you made a great pitch, Wayne. Anything else you want to share with us about the Saugus Peabody Co-op wrestling team I haven't asked you about, or you haven't shared with us here? But again, a lot of great information you're sharing with us here today.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just that we're young and we're going to keep continue to, you know, to work to get better every year. And, you know, I'm incredibly proud of the team that we have. You know, it's very easy for a team to fall apart, especially when they're all new. So, you know, like any profession or any sport, if you've got a lot of people that buy in, it's easier to bring people over to that side, right? You can get more people to buy in. But on the other side, if you have people that are quitting, that are not into it, that are not, giving 100%, that can also translate to the, you know, one bad apple can spoil the bunch. So we're trying to stay positive, keep the kids motivated, keep them working hard, and then build on our numbers for success in continued years.
Wayne, thanks so much for your time, all this great information, and best of luck to you and the team moving forward here in the next couple of weeks.
Great, Bill. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate the coverage.
Yep, no problem. Wayne Mota, hang on the line with us. He's the head wrestling coach at the Peabody Saugus co-op wrestling team here on MSONewsSports.com.